when Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is what? Is Sunday. So we find it here. Let's read it in John 20, verse 1. Read it, go. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. When did the Father resurrect Jesus Christ, his son? It was on the first day of the week. Hence, the disciples early on began to worship on the first day in commemoration of the resurrection.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. In a world filled with stress and anxiety, it is vitally important for us to observe a Sabbath, a time of rest and rejuvenation, to make time to wait on the Lord so we can renew our strength. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Worth the Wait.
Would you take out your notes as we continue in this called It's Worth the Wait? I want you to read with me out of the book of Isaiah. It's at the top of the notes. Let's read it together. Would you out loud? Go. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. How many of you sometimes need your strength renewed? Raise your hand. Yeah, we all do from time to time, because we live in a stress-filled society with unresolved questions and uncertain futures. We see that in our schools, our workplaces, and even families. And sometimes we look for escapes to get out of the stress, and they're not always the best methods, but we need to get out of the stress. As is told about this one lady, it's a funny story, and this is not the way to get out of stress, but there's a Florida newspaper heading that said, Florida woman stops alligator attack with a small .22 caliber pistol. The story is about self-control and marksmanship and a cool-headed woman with a small pistol against a fierce predator. Now, in her own words, she says this, quote, it was a tough but necessary discussion I was having with my recently divorced ex-husband. We were walking along the edge of a pond outside of my house in Florida. We had to discuss a property settlement, of which he was very stubborn about, and other stressful yet unresolved divorce issues, when we were surprised by a huge 12-foot alligator, which suddenly emerged from the murky pond water. It was a female, and she must have been protecting her nest because she was extremely aggressive, charging us with jaws wide open. If I didn't have my .22 caliber pistol, I would not be here today. Because with just one shot to my ex-husband's kneecap, the gator got him easily, and I was able to escape by just walking away at a brisk pace. And you won't believe how much it saved me in attorney costs. Now again, that is not the way to reduce stress, but it's a funny story. You know, we live in an age where anxiety is at an all-time high. But we don't have to be a victim to that, you or me, because we're a people of God. And although we can't eliminate all the stress, which we'd love to do, God instituted something called the Sabbath rest. Now, this Sabbath rest has to be a practice kind of peace, because you can't learn it without Christ. And it has to be learned before the gator attacks. You have to learn this before. Because, you know, if you think about it, God didn't make man to be able to handle all of the murders in the world, all of the problems, the wars, the disagreements between people, the political anger and the meandering, the celebrity gossip. It just defeats us. We weren't designed to handle all of that. Yet with the internet and the newscasts and media, it just seems like we're being inundated with the stress-filled life, and now we're taking on the problems of everybody else, maybe even subconsciously, but it comes. We weren't designed to be able to handle all of that. And God knew that. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. How many of you need God to be the recipient of a lot of our problems? Because he can handle it, but we can't. And he asks us, he invites us, cast your cares upon the Lord. I think of David in the Old Testament. David would have been the prime candidate to be nervous, angry, upset, disenchanted, disappointment, filled with stress because King Saul was chasing him like a fugitive trying to kill him. And David was homeless, going from cave to cave to cave, trying to avoid the murderous threats of King Saul. Yet in his devotional journal, David would write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters." Did you know that the Lord is inviting you and me in the midst of the drama, in the midst of the traffic jams, in the midst of the road work and fires? He invites us to still waters. It's a choice that we must make. We can refuse it or we can accept it. But God knows that the stress placed on us gets overwhelming. Still waters. Sounds good. But it's not a physical place. It's not a certain location. It's actually the state of our heart that God has for each and every single one of us. And it's reserved for the people of God. Because a lot of times what happens is, although we believe in God, by the way, do you know that everybody believes in God, whether you admit it or not? Because even the devil believes in God. He knows that there's God. I mean, there's no way we can do all of this. Or is it just by mistake? Just by mistake, everything became so precise. Did you know that this earth is flying through space at 66,000 miles an hour, turning on its axis at 23 degrees? Right now, it seems real stable, but you're right now spinning faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine. Yet everything seems so stable. In fact, did you know that astronomers can predict the next eclipse 23 to 33 years down the road? You know why they can tell you the exact date and time for the next eclipse? Because everything is so precise in its rotation with millions of tons. If the moon were any closer or any further, this earth would be inundated by tidal waves twice a day because it changes the gravitational pull so much. And after the first tidal wave, you won't have to worry about the second. Why isn't there a cosmic cataclysmic collision of all of the planets as it's rotating millions and millions of miles an hour? But everything is so precise, so precision, with everything just so in order, and it stays that way. Because the Bible says the Lord spoke and everything continued as he said. Did you know that even the planets obey his voice? Did you know that the earth, the principles of math, the principles of gravitation, astronomy, all obey God? The only ones that don't, I think, are the human beings that he created. But he loves us more than you'll ever know. But although you believe in God, most of you, us anyway, the question is, who is your Lord? They're two different things, because even the devil believes in God. But who's your Lord? You see, who's Lord in your life is who calls the shots. What is it that determines whether your day is going to be a success or a failure? Who is it that determines the countenance, the attitude, the spirit with which you live, your words? Who is it that influences your conversation, your character, everything about your decisions? Who is it? What is it? Because you see, who's Lord in your life is who basically controls your life. And a lot of times, although we believe in God, it's not God that controls our life. It's the thing he said. It's the thing she said. It's that betrayal. It's that person that bilked me out of that money. He owes me. That person that said something about me, my family, this person. And then my conversation is basically commandeered by that situation, that person, that past event. That's what becomes Lord. See, Jesus can get dethroned easily, and we put on the throne of our life the things that actually hold us hostage. You know what that person did? Or my health is deteriorating, and all my conversations about that, what's on the throne is my health. And we start to worry. By the way, did you know that worry can have a positive effect on you? I know it sounds strange, but here it is. Let worry become a reminder that we need to switch who's on the throne. Because if there's something else on the throne, an offense, a bitterness, a resentment, that's going to commandeer control pretty much everything of my thoughts, my waking thoughts, the thoughts that are influencing my conversation. And it's time for me, when I start to worry about that, it's time for me to switch who's on the throne and say, Lord, would you go back on the throne? I need to dethrone this sickness. I need to get off of the throne that worry, that offense, that bitterness. And Jesus, you be on the throne. And when that happens, there comes what the Bible calls a Sabbath rest. It's like, whew, yeah, Jesus is the one who is Lord, not that situation anymore. Worry's a reminder that it's time to switch. Put Jesus back on the throne. In fact, that's what the book of Hebrews says. Would you read it with me? It's going to come up on the screen. Read it with me. Go. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their own works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that. It is not natural for us to enter into that rest of God because we want to hold on to that offense or that bitterness, or that situation, because that's what kind of gives us power, right? But instead, the Lord says, would you switch that? Put me on the throne again and watch the rest that comes into your life. It has to be a practiced peace because it's not natural. We like to hold on to things. What if I gave you a piece of paper like this and I said, this is yours. Ooh, it's mine. Yeah, it's yours. Ooh, yeah, this is mine. And then I lit it afire. What do you think you should do? Yeah, that's burning my hand. Let it go. No way, this is mine. No, let it go. No way, man, it's mine. Ow, ow, it's burning my hand. Ow, and then finally you let it go. Ow. Then I turn to you and say, you burned my hand. It's your fault. No, it's yours because you didn't let it go. That thing's going to burn your hand. And God is saying, when you learn to let things go and trust in me, I'll take care. Put me back on the throne. You're going to find that the healing, there's going to be a wholeness that comes into your life, a Sabbath rest that's promised for the people of God. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it this way. Trust in the Lord with what? How much of your heart? Half of your heart, right? No, all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own self. The way I see things, my own understanding, that's the way I see it. Really? So yours is the best way of seeing things, or God's way that he put in the Bible that's been around for 10,000 years or more. And God has used to change millions of lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will straighten your paths. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? And then there comes a Sabbath rest. In fact, it's sort of like this. God will work for you while you rest. And focus on what's more eternal rather than temporal, because all week we focus on money and work and traffic and weather, etc. All that's which is temporal. And God is saying, let's cordon off a time, a pause in our life to focus on what's eternal. And that's why it's so good for us to even be here, because all week long we're focusing on temporal stuff, but all of a sudden we can focus on what's more eternal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me put it this way. I'm going to have someone come out and help me. Mark Stream, would you come on out? Mark helps with the platform stuff. Would you say thank you to Mark? He can stand right here, Mark. Now, I'm going to lean, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're like the Lord, okay? All right. And by the way, in heaven, I'm going to be your height. You're going to be mine. Just want you to know. But the scripture says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. And there's something that happens. It's called a Sabbath rest when you do exactly what God says. I'm going to lean on you and try not to move, okay? So, but because I don't trust him fully yet, I'm going to lean on him halfway. That way, in case he moves, I can catch myself. So I'm going to lean on him somewhat. Now, when I lean on him somewhat, I still have tension right here. This leg here is firm, and there's tension right here because I don't trust him completely because he might move. And if he does, I have to be quick to catch myself. So even though I'm leaning on him, I'm still under tension. Now, I'm going to lean on you all the way so you promise you don't move. Okay, all right. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so now I'm going to lean all the way on him. And you know, when I'm completely leaning on him, there's a rest. I'm just chilling right now. See? But I have to trust that he is immovable, that he's faithful to stand. And as soon as I go past that center point, it's like I'm at rest. There's no stress. And the scripture says, trust in the Lord with what? All our hearts. Would you say thank you to Mark Stream? A lot of times we trust in the Lord with half our hearts. And we can be Christians. God is still, we believe in God. But other stuff, it's our Lord. We don't trust him fully. So there's tension in our marriage, tension. But I'm a Christian. Yep, but there's tension, isn't there? And God is saying there's a Sabbath rest that's reserved for the people of God. Be diligent. Work hard to enter that rest. It's a practiced peace. And the still waters isn't a location out there. It's not a mystical day. Some people say, well, the Sabbath day is a certain day. And if you do, if you kind of understand that day and you worship God on that day, then everything is fine. Well, not quite. Not quite. It's not a mystical day. It's not a religious ritual. It's not an amulet that you put on your chest. It's not a someplace you take a pilgrimage to and everything will be fine after that. No, it's this understanding of the principles of God of the Sabbath rest. Oh, it's a seventh day that he metaphorically says this is it, but it's not really Saturday. Some people say you got to worship on Saturday. Not necessarily, because actually the Sabbath is not Saturday. The Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday at dusk. It actually is Friday, Saturday. And so that's the seventh day, but it's more than that. Because if you start thinking that that's the magical, mystical day, you'll miss the whole principle. That's just a shadow. In fact, that's exactly what Colossians says. When Jesus came in the New Testament, he fulfills much of the old. And he says, now keep that as the instruction, but there's a deeper principle. This is a shadow. The law is a shadow of something far greater to come in the Messiah. And we miss that. If we stay with just these things, we make this kind of an idol. It makes it a mystical thing. But God is saying, no, I want you to understand what this is all about. This is a shadow of some things to come. In Hebrews 1, it says, in former days, God spoke through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. So there's something deeper, see? In fact, Colossians says it this way. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. There's a deeper principle. Well, you say, well, when should we worship? You should worship every moment is when you should worship, not on a certain day. We should be a people of worship. Well, why do we worship on Sundays? Well, because early in the disciples' lives in the book of Acts, they understood that when Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is what? It's Sunday. So we find it here. Let's read it in John 20, verse 1. Read it, go. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. When did the Father resurrect Jesus Christ, his Son? It was on the first day of the week. Hence, the disciples early on began to worship on the first day in commemoration of the resurrection. So we find in Acts 20, let's read this next one together, go. On the first day of the week, when they were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until, you're lucky I don't preach till midnight, as they did. But it was on the first day of the week that they would start to gather and break bread or have communion. Why? To commemorate the resurrection. But the principle is still the same. One day out of the week, we pause all of the temporality, the temporal things that we deal with, to get an eternal perspective, to let God recalibrate us. And as you let God recalibrate or balance your life back, recalibrate your life and mind to the manufacturer's specifications. We hear the word of God. Something eternal takes place. We worship. Our hearts are lifted. We leave here with a better balance, a better perspective. Otherwise, our minds can get weird. If we're involved with all of the temporal stuff and we never pause and let there be a time of solitude, a Sabbath rest, we never enter into that full leaning, we get weird. There's neurotic Christians. Don't look around. They may be sitting next to you. But that happens. And so God is saying, put this principle in motion. There's a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And when you catch that, things start to balance out. One man said it this way. He said, it's the space between the notes that makes the music. And I thought, that's what God imprinted into our hearts, a time to renew our strength so that we will again mount up with wings as eagles. But you have to have that time where you wait on the Lord. You learn a practice piece to lean fully. That takes a while. And then we learn what it means to trust in the Lord with all our hearts.
Oh,
been listening to part one of a message entitled Worth the Wait by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here is a little look ahead at what is in store tomorrow.
His word is infallible. You can trust in God. And He loves you that much that you can cast your cares upon Him. And when you worry, let it be a reminder that the switch needs to take place. Something else is on the throne of God other than the Lord Jesus. Replace that anxiety. Replace that bitterness. Replace that whatever it is. Put Jesus back on the throne. And when you do, you understand how much He loves you and He will care for you. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, God bless you and aloha.